doing this series called The Reason. And what is The Reason? And the reality is, I was driving with my wife and I the other day. We were driving, and I asked her, I was like, I said, babe, you know how weird? I said, I don't know if you ever had this moment, like you do things for a long time, and then you just realize, like, wow, that's weird. Like, why do I do that? And we were driving the other day, and the question came up about are we going to put up our decorations in the house? And I was just like, this just seems weird. Like, if I was dropped off and I didn't know anything about Christianity and I bumped into people I was like, hey, well, it's a major religious holiday for me. Oh, awesome. What are you going to do for this major religious observance? Well, I'm going to go chop down a tree. And I'm going to think about this, right? Like, you get it because you grew up in it, but I'm going to go chop down a tree, major religious observance. I'm going to chop down a tree and I'm going to bring it into my living room. You're going to do what? Yeah, I'm going to chop down a perfectly healthy tree. I'm going to bring it into my living room. All right, what are you going to do then? Well, I'm going to have to move my furniture around to make it fit. What do you mean? You're going to move your furniture? Yeah. You got to move furniture around to make the tree fit. Really? Yeah. Major religious observance. That's what we're doing. And so then what we're going to do is we're going to go buy a bunch of lights and run up our electric bill. Do you need the light to see? No. You need them to look pretty and glow and sparkle. Why? It's major religious observance. And so we're going to wrap this tree with these lights, and then we're gonna put bulbs on it and stuff. Bulbs, yeah. These little glass things. When they fall off, sometimes they shatter, or like an animal. Just, you know, if you got a cat, they'll just knock them off. Like, we're just gonna do that, and then we're gonna fight about who has to clean it up. And then what we're going to do is, like, even when we're putting up the tree, it's a little bit crooked. And so my wife's going to stand behind me while I'm holding up the tree, and she's going to bark out orders. And she's going to tell me move left or right or straight or crooked. And then on top of that, as I'm sticking my hand in, I'm going to have 15 needle tracks in my arms. But I promise I don't do drugs. It's just going to be from the tree. Because as a man, you put your hand in there, it's just going to stick. And that's why? Well, it's a major religious observance. It's what we do. And so then what? Well, the tree's going to sit there, and it's going to sit there for a couple of weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, and or if we don't care about our neighbors, maybe 6 months, but it'll sit there, and then what? Well, on the day of the major observance, we're going to have a bunch of packages under it. Really? What's going to be in the presents for each other? What? Yeah. Like, when we're celebrating this major religious observance, we're just going to buy presents for each other. And some of them, it's going to depend on how much we like you based on how much we pay. So, like, if you're like a distant cousin relative that's just going to happen to swing through that day, we're going to go to Dollar General. we're going to re-gift something. And so what happens, and the more you're trying to prove your love. Like, if you've had it, you know, you and your wife had a hard time, like, you got to spend a lot of money, like, over at the jewelry store, and just put it under the tree and wrap it all up and then give it to her. And then she'll be happy for a couple days. Like, if somebody were to talk to us and just be like, hey, what is Christmas about? That's kind of the answers that they would get if they didn't know anything else. They'd just be like, wow, you people, that's what you do. So what we want to do is, in the course of this month, is to really just look at Scripture and just say, what is it, what's the reason for Christmas? What's the reason that we celebrate? What is the reason? So my role in your life is to bring you the theological reasons that God gives us about different areas of life. And then your role is to kind of process that and live that out in your unique design. And so for some of us, how many of you have fake trees? Fake trees. Fake trees. Everybody's judging you right now. Look around. They're all judging you. No, I'm just kidding. We have a fake tree too, because primarily all the story I just told you. But yeah, and then real trees? Real tree? Real tree. Very good. Who believes, like, real tree? You real tree people. Who thinks, like, it's just an insult to the whole Christmas spirit to have a fake tree? There, see, I told you they were judging you. Almost every real tree person believes that. So anyhow, we do things different, right? And even in celebrating the holiday, we would do things different. In fact, I looked and I found some interesting things. In India, only about 2% of the population is Christian in India. And over in India, the way that they celebrate Christmas is with bananas. It says instead of lighting up pine trees, they will find well-lit, decorated a Christmas banana in the house. So that's what they do. Hey, it's India. I don't know. It's on the internet. It must be true. In the Czech Republic and Slovakia, children, they stand with their back to the door. They throw a shoe over their shoulders on Christmas Day. If the shoe lands with the toe pointing towards the door, congratulations, you're about to get married. There's no clue how long before you meet your Prince Charming, though. So it's a little thing that they do on Christmas. In Japan, how many of you enjoy ham or turkey on Thanksgiving? That's what you do. Nope, no. What do you people eat? So that's a turkey's Thanksgiving. What's Christmas? Holler it out. Do you guys have a meal? Ham? Pretty hardcore. Anybody else? Tofu. That's right. There's my vegan. Got some tofu. So anybody else? What do you eat? Appetizers? The whole day, like Christmas. It's just like finger foods. That's awesome. I want to hang out with you people because I could learn so much. And so, but in Japan, what they do is Kentucky Fried Chicken came into the market and they were like, hey, everybody in Japan, you know what the Americans do? They all have turkey, but we have chicken. And so, like, legit, in Japan, everybody goes to Kentucky Fried Chicken and gets a chicken. Did you know that? The more you know, the more you know. I went to seminary just to bring you that from the internet. You're welcome. But so there's all these different celebrations and things, but get down to what the point is. When you have friends, when you have family, when you have coworkers, they're looking at you. And when I look at other religious holidays, when I look at the Muslims and Ramadan and the fasting and how seriously they take it, I go, wow, I don't believe what they believe, but that's I appreciate the fact that they're committed to it. When you meet some Jewish friends and you say, hey, I'm not in that vein, but man, I appreciate the difference when a person takes their faith seriously. Inside of Christianity, it's the same way. We have a cultural Christianity where kind of our culture historically has had some semblance of Christianity. And so it's a little tougher, but the more and more we grow and the older that you get, you're going to see that it's going to be more and more important that you know and I know what exactly our faith's about. So what is the reason for Christmas to begin with? Go to Matthew chapter 1, and I'm going to read, and there's a couple of things I'm going to pull out from the story that it says about the birth of Jesus. So it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for to which that which she conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not, meaning they didn't have relations, until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. So here we are in Matthew chapter 1, the overarching story of the birth of Christ. At Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Christ. We celebrate God entering the world. We celebrate the ushering in of a new way forward. Prior to this, when you read your Old Testament, that's all Judaism, that's all the Jewish faith. And in the Jewish custom, the Jewish faith, what they would do is they had to pay remittance for their sin. So if they sinned, they had different offerings that they had to give. And usually it would involve the loss of blood. It would involve innocent life. And usually it would be some sort of an animal that would be a sacrifice to pay for the penalty of sin. And it wasn't just the animal's life, an animal at the time, that was your well-being. When we have the mission we have in Kenya, one of the things that I learned quickly is that it's still today normal for a family when you have wealth, you don't have the bank accounts and stuff. What you'd have is you have cattle. You have a herd. And so that basically is your monetary value bouncing around grazing every day. And so when a person would have sin and they would have to give up a particular animal, it would be the same as if someone said, hey, we're going to tap your bank account and you're going to have to pay a penalty. You're going to have to pay a payment for what you did wrong. And so that's what was before Jesus. And so the people, they were kind of always on edge and nervous, and the faith was kind of like, man, I gotta make sure I do right, and it's got to be about me, and if I do wrong, I got to pay a penalty. And so then Jesus comes into the picture, and we're celebrating the birth of this new way forward. We're celebrating the birth of this whole new life. And so I want to give you three areas from this text that we learn, the keys that we learn about who Jesus is and about why we celebrate the birth of Jesus. So it goes and it starts off at the beginning. Now, the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. If you're jotting notes today, I want to encourage you to write this down. The reason for the Holy Spirit is so Jesus would become our perfection. The reason for the Holy Spirit is so that Jesus would become our perfection. So when you think about this little detail, right? This is, for some people, a pretty hard detail to grasp. Like, okay, you want me to believe that this faith starts off, the whole thing starts off with this Jesus, and there's this immaculate conception. There's you mean that there was no sexual activity? All of a sudden, this chick Mary, as a mid-teen, late teen, this chick Mary, she basically gets knocked up, and there was nobody having sex, right? And so people lose it over this. But I've always found this kind of funny, because the reality is today we're coming up with all kinds of ways for children to be born, right? We have IVF, and we have all kinds of things. We have, I watch a house flipping show, and one of the parties is a homosexual, and part of the show for the last, like, 3 months was all about they wanted to get a baby, and it's like two dudes, and I'm like, wow, the world has a hard time believing that you could have a child without sex, but yet we soak up all this stuff and how normal it is for two men or two women to do it. So it's not that crazy. But the point is, even less about how crazy it might be, the point is there's a reason that God had this done this way. There's a reason that Jesus had to be from the Holy Spirit and not from the line of another man. And that reason is simply that the scriptures teach us that every single person is a sinner by nature, not by behavior, a sinner by nature, which means that every single human being since the fall of man, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, ever since then, every single person has been a sinner by birth. And so it's not like you wait until a person gets to 8 or 9 and they tell a lie and, oh, they're a sinner. You got to wag your finger. No. It's all of us. We are born into what the scripture describes as a sin nature. And so because of that, we do not have the ability to be perfect enough for God. And God is perfect in himself. And God wants to have perfection around. God wants to get back at the garden when there was no sin, and you look at the garden, he was just communing and fellowshipping with his children. God wants to get back to that. But God cannot violate who he is. He is just and holy and righteous, and he cannot violate that. And so God says, listen, as much as I want to get back there, as long as you're bringing sin into the relationship, then I can't have a relationship with sin. And so he had to give out doses of forgiveness in the Old Testament through the Old Testament law in order to be able. So it was his grace that allowed you to be seen as perfect. The problem is it always wore off. And so where Jesus comes in is that when Jesus is born of the Virgin Mary and by the power of the Holy Spirit, now God says, you know what? They're free from sin. The lineage of sin is not in Jesus. And so what we see in Jesus, we see Jesus love on the broken, the hurting, care for the downtrodden. He's up. He's with the prostitute, and he's telling her how much she matters to the Father, and to go out and to sin no more. And so Jesus shows us what does perfection look like in a human form? But for that to have all happened, he couldn't allow, God did not decide that this would be done through a natural man, natural woman. And so one big part, when you think about what Christmas is, one big part of what we're celebrating, Jesus is no normal man. We're celebrating the fact that Jesus is God-man, God in the flesh, God incarnate is who Jesus is. And so for each one of us, as we think about what is the reason to celebrate Christmas, what is the reason to celebrate Christmas? I celebrate Christmas. I celebrate the birth of Jesus because that is the birth of God into this earth. That is God taking off some of his own divine nature to step into this planet and voluntarily set aside the things that would prohibit him from being close. And that is God saying he wants to be close. And so we celebrate the Holy Spirit and we celebrate the union of the Holy Spirit and man in Jesus so that Jesus could become our perfection and could become our righteous, could become our once and for all Lamb of God that would take on all the penalty for our sin. And so he's special in that way. And so for each one of us, as we think about why do we celebrate Christmas, we're not just celebrating some guy died. Because I don't know if you know it, every single day, some guy dies. We're not just celebrating that. We're celebrating the fact that God came and God was perfect in Jesus. And as a perfect person, the only one that's ever existed, that perfect person voluntarily got up on a cross at Calvary's Hill and voluntarily became the penalty, the payment for all of our sin. So it goes on in verse 21 and says, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So what do we celebrate at Christmas? The reason for Jesus' birth was to save us from our sin. The reason for Jesus' birth was to save us from our sin. The reason for the Holy Spirit was so that Jesus would be perfect, because what he was going to do is save us from our sin. The only way he could save us from our sin is if he was perfect and he could take the place. He could satisfy the wrath of God. The judgment of God would be satisfied on Christ. You and I, apart from Christ, our wrath and our punishment, our track record, our criminal record in God's eyes is still on us, unless and until we put it on Jesus. And so as a Christian, we're not just celebrating a happy moment. We're not just celebrating a bunch of camels coming around the birth of a baby, even though that's awesome. What we're celebrating is the fact that, you know what? God was born and God had a mission. God had a purpose in this birth. God in that moment was there to remove our sin. And for you and for me, how do you tap into that? You tap into his removal of sin from your life by trusting in his finished work, trusting in Jesus' finished work on the cross at Calvary. So you're in this room today and you say, "Man, I'm trying to figure this out and I want to follow God." What does it entail? It entails that you trust that what Jesus did on the cross was sufficient for you. And the Bible says that with doing so, the Father removes all sin from his eyes towards you. When our Father in heaven looks at you and looks at me, he no longer sees you in your sin. He no longer sees your brokenness. You have no reason to feel guilty anymore. You have no reason to hide your head in shame. You have no reason to feel like you're not enough. All of that is stripped away. And the only thing that the Father looks at you and sees is his Son glorified. Because Tali trusted in Christ, the Father only sees Jesus in Tali. And so each one of us, what we celebrate, the reason that we celebrate, is not only did God come through the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus, but Jesus' very mission was to remove all of the sludge, all of the grime, all of the sin out of our life. So we're celebrating not just the birth, we're celebrating what that birth was about to have happen. Amen? So she'll bear a son, you call his name Jesus. Verse 22, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. "When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and called his name Jesus." The reason for Christmas is to remember that we're not alone. The reason for Christmas is to remember that we're not alone. Christmas means you're not alone. Christmas means that God Himself is near. Christmas is a time where you can come together, and in Christ, you can remind each of your family members. You can remind your friends and loved ones. You're not in this world alone. You're not alone. And each one of us, you and I, are points of light in this dark world where we can look around to the neighbor and the stranger and say, you know, you're not alone. One of our in a prayer time this morning, one of our men, he was sharing with us that this week he was able to meet a stranger. And the stranger had asked for a dollar on the street, and God prompted him. He's like, you know, this isn't my normal deal, but God just prompted me. And so in over the course of an hour talking with the stranger, and then they went and had dinner, and this guy was expressing that he was down on his luck, and he had been robbed and everything, but he wanted to get into recovery. And so then they contacted me and said, hey, how do we do that? And we got him in touch with a group that handles that. And what was happening is this man in our church was being Jesus to this other person, to say, you know what, not only am I going to acknowledge your humanness, not only am I going to acknowledge that you are an image bearer of God, but you are also His child, you are also His son, you are somebody that's worth my time. And Christmas, what it should teach us as Christ followers, is to say we're the points of light to tell the rest of the world that they do not have to be alone. And God, He didn't have to come, and He didn't have to lay His life down, and He didn't have to care about us, but He has. And so He's given us the opportunity at this season of life to turn around and to say, you know what? You're not alone either. You see, Emmanuel means God with us. God with us. Can you repeat that with me? God with us. How about let's change that to me? God with me. One more time. God with me. That's exactly the message that heaven, that God in heaven wants you to know. That this Christmas season, yet you are not alone. Not only did Jesus prepare a way for you to be saved and be right with God, but He did it personally. He took the opportunity to put Himself out there on the line. And you and I at Christmas can do everything to let this world know, you know what? You're not alone. You're hurting and you're going through pain. You're not alone. You're addicted to a drug, but I'm not going to let you be alone. You're struggling with alcoholism, but you're not alone. You have friends, you have family, you have co-workers. Each one of us, we know people that, man, what if God could get a hold of our hearts? What if we could leverage everything we have and all that we are and let people know in our sphere of influence, you will not be alone. I will walk with you. Well, why would you do that? Because my God is Emmanuel, which means God with us. God did not leave me alone in my sin. God did not let me suffer through my own problems. I don't know, raise your hand in this room if you say, there's a consequence that God didn't even make me pay. I know I probably deserve worse than I have in life. See, every single one of us can do that. Every single one of us can acknowledge that God has been far better to us than we in our flesh deserve. And so Christmas is a reminder for us that heaven came down through the Holy Spirit so that Jesus wouldn't be normal. And then Jesus, He lived His perfect life to pay the penalty for our sin. We're not just celebrating a baby born in a manger. If that's all you get out of Christmas, you're missing it. You're celebrating the fact that this baby was special. This baby was unique. This baby was God in the flesh. This baby would rise up. And this baby would take away all of your sin. And so you're celebrating something so much bigger than camels and a trough and the side of a cave. And as we celebrate that, I want to challenge you this year. Who in this world, because of this Christmas coming by, who in this world will hear from you? You're not alone. You're not alone. My God hasn't left me alone, and I'm not going to leave you alone. You're not alone. In your addiction, you're not alone. In your divorce, you're not alone. Some of you know people whose their significant other died this year. They need to hear from you. You're not alone. Somebody is single and doesn't have a place to go. They need to hear from you and your family. You're going to eat with us. Notice I didn't say, will you? You're not alone. Because that's who Emmanuel is. That's what your faith is about. There's somebody in this room today you don't know. Before you even let them get to the parking lot, you've got to just stop them and tap them on the shoulder and say, I'm sorry, but Pastor was reminding me today that I can't keep coming to church and not let other people know that I'm here for them. I've got to let people know. If they take me up on it or not, it's up to them. But I've got to let somebody know they're not alone. This Christmas season, it's not about a tree. It's not about a bunch of carols. It's not about decorations. It's not even about the various ways we talked about we like to eat on Christmas. It's not about NBA basketball. Not about baby Jesus. It's about heaven came down through Christ to remove our sin. And the way that he did it was to say, you're not alone. If you're in this room today and you feel that way, you feel that you're alone, I want to implore you. If I knew your situation, I would tell you with tears in my eyes, we will not let you be alone. This church will not let you be alone. What you have around you are not just people here to watch a Christian show for an hour. You have around people at the heart of who they are a desire to live out who Jesus is. And they're trying to figure it out just like you might be. But together, we can make sure none of us ever feel alone. That's what the Christmas message is. That's the reason that we celebrate. Maybe this year I challenge your family, if you don't have a tradition, or maybe you're dating, or maybe you just started your nuclear family and these are new things. Maybe a new tradition for you could be born this year where you say, you know what, how much do we budget for stuff? And how about we budget a portion of that to make sure somebody feels loved? And not by a drive-by, not stroke a check and run away, but somebody feels that they're not alone. What a great tradition would that be? It would make you feel awkward. You'll have to sacrifice. But man, you would live out Jesus. You would live out Jesus. Amen? Amen. You're not alone. If you're in this room and you don't know where you stand with God, the easy thing is ABC. You and I have to admit that we're sinners. We all are. Everybody in this room, no matter how pretty they look today, they're sinners. The preacher, sinner. Then you have to believe something. What do you do with that sin? Well, there's two options. You're either going to carry the sin, and you're going to stand before God with that sin in hand, and you're going to say, hey, did my best, but I'm still a sinner. Or you're going to say, God, you made a way for me not to carry sin anymore. And that's to be forgiven by the blood of Jesus. When Jesus got up on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago, he voluntarily died. Perfection died for you. Perfection died. And so what you do is you say, I know that I'm a sinner, but I believe that Jesus, when you died on that cross, you did it for me. So I'm making it personal. So Jesus, back on Christmas Day, you know, 2,000 years ago, you were Emmanuel, God with us. And at salvation, I want to tell you, God, you're with me. You didn't just die for the world, you died for me. So salvation means I admit that I'm a sinner, but I also believe that what Jesus did was done for me. And then I confess something about it. I confess, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. Because the Bible declares that Jesus didn't just die, and that's the end of the story. He was resurrected. He lives again. He sits at the Father's right hand. He's our defense attorney. And every time Satan speaks, Jesus is speaking. Every time Satan accuses you of all the sin you've done, Jesus says, yeah, but I've forgiven. And so you and me, you say, I want to make sure I'm right with God. You admit that you're a sinner, but you believe that Jesus paid the penalty for your sin. And you confess, Jesus, because you did that for me, I will live for you. That's salvation in a nutshell. That's how this thing works. Beyond that, there's a lot of religion. And beyond that, anytime you get people in a room that are trying to create a structure, they're going to keep building on structure, a.k.a. the federal government. It's all we know is just to add stuff. And so I want to get you back to the core of what the Bible says. And what the Bible says is salvation is through Jesus and nothing else. It's not Jesus plus anything. Because what you've done is you've added on to salvation. So admit that you're a sinner, believe Christ died for your sin, and confess Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Jesus, I will follow you the best that I know how the rest of my life. And you know what that means? That means that you're going to make mistakes. That means that your old sin nature is going to creep up once in a while. How many of you made it this week without sinning at all? No hands. I hope that's comfort for somebody that's curious about this God thing. There's nobody in this room that believes they made it this week without sinning. So every single one of us, church, this year, let's remember the reason for the season. The Holy Spirit came down to make Jesus perfect, perfection. Perfection lived and died on the cross to remove my sin. And as a consequence, I have a new life in Christ. And as a consequence, heaven came close to tell me I'm not alone. So how do I respond to Christmas? I respond by, with gratitude and thankfulness in my heart, and go let other people know they're not alone either. They're not alone. And can I tell you something? Sometimes I get accused. I've been accused 2 or 3 times in the last year. All you care about is the poor people. I've legit could show you emails where people left the church and they say all Tolly cares about is poor people. One, it breaks my heart because I care about everybody. But two, if it's going to be like that, I'll let you decide where I care about. But I'm going to stand on the side of the ones that are in need. I'm going to stand on the side of the one who's lonely. I'm going to stand on the side of the one who is hurting. I'm going to stand on the side of the one that's in need. But here's what I know. I know that the middle class or the upper class person that's popping pills trying to get by, I know that the marriage that's falling apart, that they try real hard on the outside to make it look right. I know that the son that can't live up to his dad's expectations. I know that the one that's having an affair that nobody knows about, they're all hurting too. And I want you to hear that Christmas says you're not alone. You're not alone. We're going to be the type of church that does our very, very best to bring that message to every human being that'll hear. And I pray that if you're here and that you're in this church, that you'll A, learn to embrace the fact that you're not alone and you're loved by God, and B, there's a responsibility to go out and to do that for somebody else. Let's not sit and soak. Let's go be Jesus to the world. And that's what I'll always compel you to. There are many, many places you can go where people will scratch your ears, tell you how awesome you are. I believe you're awesome too. We'll have fun. But I believe Jesus is more awesome than all of us. And I want to replicate Jesus. I'm not trying to replicate me or you or anybody else. The Holy Spirit came down, took away your sin to let you know you're not alone. Amen?